Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. But we all know, deep down inside, whether or not we may acknowledge it, that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience who can have a spiritual experience if you open your mind. Follow your heart, follow your dreams, and find your way to a power greater than yourself, however you may define that. Now, you may or you may not agree with things that are said, but if you keep that open mind, you will see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. So tonight, my special guest is David Gagan. He's a NASA engineer, former NASA engineer, or maybe you still are. Is that the case, David?
No, I'm not. I was a director of a NASA laboratory a number of years ago.
Very good. Well, anyhow, he has degrees in math and electrical engineering. He worked for 17 years as an electronics design engineer and technical manager for Boeing, where he was responsible for designing automatic flight control and avionics systems. Pardon me, David, I have a psychic calling in. Would you excuse me for a minute? And then, folks, I will read the rest of the introduction.
Okay.
Thank you. This call is not for me, it's for my partner. Very interesting. Hello, Kat. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hi, sweetheart. I'm doing my show now, and you are live on the air. Let me email you. I did email you Robbie's Skype name, and he's prepared to talk to you. You want to talk to me first? He is. David, would you please introduce yourself while I speak with Kat, and I'm going to mute my line, so if you'd be willing to carry the ball for a moment, I'd appreciate it.
I'd be more than happy to.
Thank you so much, David.
I think where David left off is after I worked for Boeing for 17 years designing flight control systems, cockpits, and communications and navigation systems, I went into the U.S. government where I was a senior executive. I was running research laboratories for the U.S. Army and NASA for 9 years. And then I founded a company. I was the founder and CEO of a company called Cobham Defense Electronic Systems. We were owned by Cobham PLC. And we became the world's leader in military microwave components. We did front ends for radars and such, and got ourselves up to about 4,000 plus employees, at which time I decided to retire. And I retired because I spent all of my spare time during those 40-some-odd years that I was working doing research on who I am. Why are we here? Is there a God? What's the purpose of life? I always found it absolutely fascinating. So I So I decided to write a book on the things that I found. And I found some, quite frankly, amazing things. And it helped me tremendously in my business life and my personal life. So it was a very, very interesting journey. I called the book The Endless Journey, and it's a unique perspective on mankind's origin, purpose, and ultimate destiny, is how I titled the book. And it has been an amazing journey for me. So these days you can reach me at davidgagan.com. I have a website that you can get me there. I'm going to do a show in the fall. I'm going to host a show every Friday morning called Common Sense Spirituality, and that's going to take place on W4CY radio, and it should be a very interesting show. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have people that have viewpoints either like mine or unlike mine, but it's going to be a very interesting, I think, and entertaining show for people who are interested in trying to find out about themselves and who they are and how they interface with the world. Some of the things that I've found, we're eternal spirits having a life experience, and our permanent home is really the spiritual realm. As such, our natural state is in the spiritual world. And death is simply our return to our natural state. It's interesting, you know, you can kind of look at the spiritual world as a place where we return to after we've been on a business trip, if you will. And we have we come down here, we have certain things to learn about, to understand, and then after we have a life of experiences, difficult experiences. Then we return and go back to the spiritual world where we digest the experience that we've had. And after we've spent a certain period of time digesting and trying to understand where we are, we return to the natural world that I call it. For another life, we have a life plan, and we end up having a set of things that we want to do, we want to accomplish, and we each have a right way to live, a dharma, if you will, and every life we create a personality, and that personality is created to help us have the experiences that we're looking for, that we think we need, that we want. And as we have those experiences, we make mistakes because we don't understand something, and we pick up some karma along the way. And karma is really just a bookkeeping perspective on what we don't know. So what the karma does is it brings back to us opportunities for us to see whatever problem we didn't understand from another perspective. And sometimes it takes many, many times to see the problem differently before we truly understand all aspects of it. But it's a type of thing that you can learn and learn from and understand. So it's a way that we grow and expand our consciousness.
David, so, I'm back.
You're back. Okay. Well, that's good.
I'm back, and of course, because I was involved in an unexpected conversation with a leading psychic who was not aware I had a show going on, she Skyped me. I did not hear what you said. And I'm not going to ask you to repeat it. Do you need me to read the rest of your biography, or did you cover the base?
No, I have finished the biography, and I was telling the listeners a little bit about some of the things that I found. But I went through the biography.
Well, then I'm going to ask you, where shall we start talking tonight instead of me leading with a question?
Well, that's... That's a difficult question.
How about calling it a challenging question?
All right, a challenging question.
There you go, because nothing's difficult unless we make it so. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree. And there's so many different aspects of spirituality and truth that you look at. So it's really up to the individual people. And I was talking a little bit about, you know, karma and how that works. So maybe that's a good place to start.
Absolutely. I have had callers request a show on karma. Now, I'm fairly well versed, and most of my understanding of karma comes from doing past life regression with people, which I have done on my show, and I'm willing to do for any listeners for a modest fee, and you can contact me at dcowder, C-O-W-D-E-R, at twcny.rr.com, and excuse the self-promotion. But what I was saying is that my understanding of karma has basically come to me through my experience with Source, God, Energy, Universe, Goddess, whatever you want to call it. I call it God, and I'm used to using the masculine pronoun of Father. Now, I am not religious. I'm a spiritual being who is a seeker, and I believe I'm an advanced soul, as I believe David is, based on his biography. And that's not to say that we're any better or worse than anybody else. It's just that we all have our own journeys to follow, and we are all at the same point in time, because linear time is not the same as spiritual time. So actually, we have access to all those lives, old or new souls. So David, what would you like to say about karma?
Well, karma is really just a way for the universe, if you will, the universal consciousness or God or however you want to put it, to keep track of what we don't know. And that's all it is. And then what it does, it sets up circumstances for us to see our piece of the world, whatever the problem is, from a different perspective. So we get another view of it. Sometimes those views are hard to deal with, but most of the time they're not. They're just an aggravation, if you would put it, or some people look at it that way. But they're really just learning experiences for us to see things from another perspective. And then once we go through it, we either learn the lesson that we are supposed to learn, or we pick up karma that says, okay, that got a piece of the action, but now you got to look at it from yet another perspective. And so you'll have another lesson later on down the line that will show you yet another piece of that wisdom that you're trying to learn.
Right. And the beauty is that we always get another chance. There's no such thing as hell or one life where if you don't get it right, you're damned eternally. It is really a crime what religion has done. And of course we could go back to what the Council of Nicaea did back around 400 AD. I may have the date wrong, but they struck down Jesus's teachings in reincarnation and picked and chose the books of the Bible that they wanted to use to influence people in the belief that there's just one life, and they exercise control over the people through the fear that they needed to get it right in this life. And there's no such thing as right or wrong. We live in a dualistic world, and Okay, I'm getting another call. David, would you care to comment while I take this?
Yeah. I agree. And what was interesting to me when I researched that reincarnation that Dave just brought up is was a difficult task for me to come to grips with because I was raised an Episcopalian and also had a scientific bent, and both of them were highly biased against the concept of reincarnation, and if you look at the various aspects, you can go in and you can understand why they're biased against it and the fallacy that it has, because the original teachings of really in all of the Arabic and obviously Oriental religions taught reincarnation. Jesus clearly taught it. So it's a concept that was misused along the way. But it's critical for karma because you need more chances to learn these various aspects. And the beauty of karma is that it makes the world just. It's everybody gets what they deserve and only mm-hmm. what they deserve. We create all the circumstances that we end up going through.
So let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Do you believe it's possible to advance from square one or square zero to perhaps square 100 through an epiphany that brings you from point A to Z seemingly overnight?
Highly unlikely.
Okay.
It would be an extremely strange circumstance that did that. We learn through effort and reason, and I don't think anybody can learn that quickly. And again, the question is what is square zero? You know, we start out
right
as minerals, and then we work our way up to, you know, to the vegetation state, and then the animals, the lower animals, and then up to the higher animals, and then when we finally have enough experience, you know, we work ourselves into the human category. So what I would assume your question was from the human, can you have an epiphany and get through humanity and get into
yeah.
the next level,
yeah.
you know, with one shot? And I would say no. I would say there's way too much to learn, and what makes us all unique, it's the experiences that we have, because everybody
right.
has a different set of experiences. We're all searching for the same truth, but we all come out with a unique perspective on that truth, and that's what makes us so valuable. And if you had an epiphany, you wouldn't have that truth. You wouldn't
right.
have your uniqueness. So
well, the
I don't
reason
think so.
I mentioned that
many,
is
many lives
my own.
To get there.
Yeah, the reason I mentioned that is my own life experience, which is no better or worse than anybody else's. But I was a total non-believer in reincarnation until I had an out-of-body experience at the age of 25, and I was taught through communion with Source, God, whatever you want to call it, that I was here on an important mission, and I was shown my most significant life, which I'm not going to share because most people don't believe it. But I gathered an immense amount of wisdom as a result of that, and when I came out of the out-of-body experience, I was overwhelmed, and I eventually developed mental illness, which I have also come out of. I've developed addictions, which I have also healed from. And I totally embrace the truth of that experience now. But what I'm saying is I seemingly went from point A to point Z. It's just that it took me 35 more years to fully embrace whatever was revealed to me at that point in time. So, you know, that's a little unique. Like I was telling you, I had an astrologer give me a chart yesterday, and he said it's the most amazing chart he's ever done, which doesn't make me any better or worse than anybody else, but I've been called an ascended master, and I'm a very humble man and very grateful. So that's neither here nor there. But as far as karma goes and my understanding of it, I've had some people say, oh, this is the now. This is what I want to focus on. However, if you have fears, traumas, life issues that are impeding your progress in this life, it is really a suggestion that you take that to a regressionist, and I don't mean somebody who reads the Akashic Records. With all due respect, they're very talented people, and I've had them on my show. But a talented regressionist or a talented hypnotherapist who can take you to lifetimes where those traumas that have created issues in your current life occurred, and you will be in spirit form so that you will not experience the trauma. Say if you were hung, you will not feel like the noose is tightening around your neck. It will just be an aha moment. And from that, you will gain insight and correct behaviors that have been dysfunctional. For example, I learned that I was a prostitute in 18th century England. When I learned that, I snapped out of something called sexual addiction, which is simply a symptom of a deeper distress. That's all it took after years of being a quote-unquote sex addict, which, you know, to me, I respect people in 12-step programs who call them addictions, but I say it's simply a symptom of a deeper distress. So those are my two cents, David. Would you care to comment?
Yeah. I suspect that you could have well made a huge amount of progress in one life. I suspect maybe you were farther along than you think when you started.
Probably.
And I think that, for example, you know, you, me, everybody can be at a certain place in one life, and that doesn't mean that we don't have things to pick up in other lives. So just because, you know, the bum on the street in this life might be the King of England in the next. You just don't know. And that
right.
doesn't mean that he's truly a bum. It's just an experience that he chooses and his guides choose to help him say,
mm-hmm.
hey, this is something that you need to learn along the way. We all have we all have a self-directed journey, and
right.
and such. You know, it's not a matter of being in front or behind. It's a matter of, you know, you've got to cover all the paths, but you can do it in any order that you want. That makes sense.
So I
would think that might have been the case, you know, with yourself, but I
uh-huh.
do think you can make great strides in any
uh-huh.
given life. I don't think there's any question about it. But I think a lot of people might look at themselves as saying, "Hey, I got some serious problems in this life," and maybe you do, because maybe you're dealing with something that you hadn't dealt with before. But that didn't mean that you hadn't dealt with a whole bunch of other things that were
yeah.
pretty sophisticated.
Well, I respect what you're saying, and I've come to change my mind. You've illuminated me, because I'd forgotten things like from my childhood, my grandfather called me his father confessor. Now, apparently I did possess some wisdom then. My grandmother said, "Oh my God, you're just like your great-grandmother. You don't speak much," which is not the case anymore, "but when you speak, what you say is profound." So I accept what you say, and thank you for the reminder. I had a question I was going to ask you, and it's a little bit off, but I'm looking at your biography, and you talked or you shared with me the connection between science and your understanding, science including quantum mechanics, relativity, cosmology, amongst others. And I'm wondering if you have covered those bases or not, if you could take some time to delve into that and just be assured that we do have callers on the line.
Okay. No, I did not touch on that, and I'd be happy to do it.
If there's anything you want to finish up on the subject of karma, please do that.
I think we hit it. If any listeners have any particular questions, we can go back and run over it again.
Absolutely.
I think science is an interesting perspective because, I started out, in science and as a young man, believed that a lot of these things were true that science came up with. But, science, the more I looked at it and the more I understood how it worked, the more you could see that it's a very, very young body of knowledge. I mean, if you look at science, it's really only been going hot and heavy for probably 50 years. And it's not that there weren't the Galileos and the Newtons 200-300 years ago, but as far as people really putting effort into it, it's really been fairly recent. And science has a half-life of about 18 months. So the things that they taught me in school, they've long since said, oh, that was nonsense. This is how it really is. And science is full of a lot of really bright guys working really hard, but they're working in stovepipes, and they're looking at this little area, and they're looking as deep as they can, and they're not looking around to see what's going on. They're staring at the tree and not realizing they're in a forest. So science has a perspective that you've got to take it with a grain of salt. And
right.
And you have to understand what's going on. Quantum physics, fascinating stuff. And the things that they're telling us about the world is really mostly air and some waveforms of energy. But there's something wrong with quantum mechanics because it doesn't agree with relativity. Or there's something wrong with relativity because it doesn't agree with quantum mechanics. Something is wrong with those two things. Maybe there's a lot wrong. Maybe it's just some minor thing. Whatever it is, it's a perspective. It's a way to look at a certain problem. But the biggest problem that I find with science is that science has a science they called physics. Well, physics is looking at the physical world. By definition, they're never going to find the spiritual world. But you find other elements of science, like psychology, and I'll tell you, that's science, and this hypnotic regression, that's science. We don't understand it all, but that's science.
Right.
But what the physicists are saying is, but I can't repeat it. You can't repeat a whole bunch of stuff, and it doesn't mean you can't put it in the back room and say it doesn't exist just because you can't take it in a laboratory and repeat it every time. So you have to look at the broader perspective of it, and that's where science chokes. And they're working on it. Someday they'll get it. But
I do believe they will.
Yeah.
I do believe they will. Now, I did think of what I was going to say before, and it goes back to the topic of reincarnation or karma, what have you, and perhaps what some people call the law of attraction, because we do live in a vibrational universe. And, I mean, that can be measured by science.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The point is this. The choices that you say we make, David, the choices that we create to experience different experiences come from a spiritual form of responsibility to round out our souls. And so, as I see it, we must always be responsible. And if you're going to lead a spiritual life, I believe, and please comment on this, if you're going to advance, you need to look within, stay connected to source, be loving and kind, follow the golden rule, whatever you call it, and keep an open mind.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's one of the major principles that we always need to keep in mind is personal responsibility, because that's really what it's all about. And that we live a life that, quite frankly, we created. We created far more of this life than anybody can possibly imagine. But parts of it you can see. I mean, you picked the house you're in. You picked your education. You either studied or you didn't study. You picked the job. You either worked hard or you didn't work hard. You picked your friends. You picked the world, and you created the world that you live in. And if you want to change that world, nobody can change it for you except you. You know, a lot of times we say, well, you know, if the boss would only give me a raise, then my life would be better. If the government would reduce my taxes, life would be better. Well, it's our responsibility to make the life that we want. And that is the absolute critical thing that you have to walk away from in the spiritual world, where each on our own self-directed journey, and nobody can change our life for us but us. They can impact us, but it's how we react to them that determines what our life is. So there's many, many things that will come before us, experiences, obstacles, whatever, but it's how we deal with those things that are so critical. And so personal responsibility is really what it's all about. If you're not happy with your life, then do something about it, change it. And there's some very straightforward ways to do it. I mean, we're trying to learn wisdom, and we're trying to live a virtuous life. Those are the two absolute key things. Selfless service to others is, mm-hmm. if we could remember that, we would change that. We would be improving ourselves hugely. And that doesn't mean we have to be perfect tomorrow.
Right.
It just means
right.
that we have to, if we could be a little more selfless tomorrow than we were today, that's all you need. Then you're heading in the right direction.
Well, one caveat that I might bring up is that in order to be of service to others, one must first take care of themselves, because it's possible to give yourself away. And so I encourage people who might get into the martyr complex to realize that they're not taking care of business. You cannot truly help another unless God helps those who help themselves. You've heard that expression. And so it's vitally important to stay aligned with what your life purpose is, and first of all is self-care. And then you don't give yourself away.
I agree. I agree 100% with what you said. It clearly you have to worry about yourself. There's no question about it. But as you worry about yourself, one of the things is to be worrying about others as well. And the martyr aspect is definitely not where you want to go. It's you have to, and the way you worry about yourself is you try to expand your consciousness. You try to live the life that you're supposed to live, and you know how to live. And it's taking care of yourself and realizing that you're really a wonderful person with this great future, and so it's balancing the two, and as we get our life under control, and as we take care of ourselves, and if we can take care of others at the same time and work in that direction, then you've got the two of them going. But I agree with you. I don't mean it to imply that we should just go off and ignore ourselves, because that's really our major effort is to improve ourselves and raise our consciousness.
Implying that, I did not think you were implying that, David. I just felt compelled to mention that to people who may be seeming martyrs or seeming victims. And may not have awoken to the light of truth, that in order to be true to oneself and a service to others, it's important to take care and to come to know who you truly are.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
Yeah, well, thank you. I believe, as I mentioned before, that we're very simpatico, and so I honor the God or Christ essence in you as I trust you do in me.
Indeed.
And I honor that within all of the listeners, and I think perhaps it may be time to take some calls to honor you for calling in tonight. David, we have so many things left to talk about. We're not going to be able to cover it all tonight. Would you be willing to return again?
I would. I certainly would.
And what's more, I may have mentioned to you, and pardon me if I've forgotten, I may have mentioned that I had some guests or callers that wanted a show on karma. There is another guest that wanted to take a con attitude. I'm wondering if you would be willing to dialogue with him, and I'll play moderator. I was going to take the pro attitude.
I would be happy to.
Great. And then I would like to, if we don't get into it tonight, I would like to talk about mysticism. I would like to talk about UFOs and many, many other things. So I foresee two more shows for you. And after the show is over, I'm going to make a note of your number. I will call you and tell you what openings I have. Is that fair enough?
That's fair enough.
Great. Okay, let's go to the first caller. I do know who this person is. The other one I'm going to have to identify by area code. I'm going to Regina. Regina, hang in there. Oh, you're there. Beautiful.
I'm here.
Say hello to David and David.
Hey, David and David.
Hey,
Assalamualaikum.
Yes, how are you tonight, honey?
I am hot out here in Albany. It's hot over this way. I'm sure it's hot over your way. I don't know where the other David's calling from.
I'm calling out of Boston.
But it's hot over there, too.
Yeah, it's hot here.
Yes, yes. Well, I was very disappointed that I missed the first couple minutes of the program because I was having difficulty tuning in, so I tuned in on my phone, and I'm glad I did. Now, I thought I saw mentioned that you were going to talk about protection.
Protection.
Or am I wrong?
No, I never. But what type of protection are you talking about?
Well, I was thinking of, maybe people that were sending negative energy your way, psychic protection. I don't know where I read that. I thought I read it on the introduction, but...
I wasn't.
No.
I would be happy to, but I wasn't
okay.
Planning on that.
Okay.
It's true, David. I think that's very important. I think that's an important concern. Thank you for raising it, Regina.
Yes, well, there's a person living nearby me that, is a little off, and they seem to think something extremely negative about me, and they're always kind of watching me and looking at me, and as a former paranoid person myself, I pray for the lady, I think a lot of people probably run into this in life, that people just, get their own take on you, which is probably way off the mark, but that's their reality. And, I've been praying on this quite a while of how to heal this situation.
Yeah.
And
is this person... a major part of your life, or is this just a neighbor that you bump into every once in a while?
She lives across the street, and when I come out of my house, she comes out of her house, and, she kind of seems to watch me a lot. She's not really a major part of my life.
Yeah.
But she's a presence, for sure.
Okay. I am a great believer in mind over matter.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that if you have a strong mind and you're focused on what you think is right, that mm-hmm. that other thoughts, other people's thoughts have a lot of trouble getting in. If you don't let them get in, you can you can keep them out. And,
right.
And so, you know, if you say, hey, you know, this is you can't stop her from thinking how she thinks, but you can stop her from affecting you and how you deal with it by by taking the attitude that, hey, I'm running my life. I'm doing what is the right thing to do, and and just take the strong approach to say, listen, it's my mind, I'm running it. Nobody else is getting in here to mess around with me, and therefore, you know, this is it. And you might be able to turn her around, but the important thing is she doesn't turn you around, and
right.
her impact on you, that you have to say, hey, it can't happen. My mind's too strong. I just won't let it happen. I'm moving on, and just take a strong positive attitude. You're much stronger than you possibly think you are. You know, you know people don't realize how strong their mind really is. You know, people, they can't mess with you mentally if you don't let them. And you have the power. What you need is the self-confidence to do it.
Okay. Yeah. This has been quite the year of people sending me the, you know, trying to trip me up, and I'm just now buying into it. Maybe when I was younger, I would have fallen down, but I just
don't have
the time. Yeah,
Regina,
absolutely.
And
great.
You know, all of these things that you go through, these are lessons. You know, this isn't an accident that this has happened. It's a lesson.
Yeah.
This is something for you to deal with, and then move on. And the amazing thing about a lesson is that once you do deal with it. And all of a sudden it's in the history, your history, and now you're dealing with something else, some other issue that you got to deal with. But it's in the rear view mirror, so you don't fear the future and you don't rue the past. You deal with what you've got and say, hey, you know, I got a strong mind and I know where I am, and that's probably the lesson that you're dealing with.
The comment I would like to make, Regina, is that you certainly have learned some lessons. If you kowtowed to other people before and did not set intentions as you have now to not take it on, you are being assertive. You are setting that intention, and those are powerful. That's one of the most powerful thought vibrations you can send out to the universe. And perhaps this is just residue from your past of playing victim or not asserting yourself or maybe being passive aggressive, something like that. I'm not sure. I mean, I know you. I would love to know you better, and I feel very intimately connected to you, but I don't know your life story. So what do you think about that? And then, David, what do you think?
When they make the movie, you'll know it all. It's going to be a semi-comic tragedy.
let's face it, life has both elements, but humor is what heals. Tragedy takes us down and our spirits wither and then we die.
My life has just been so funny, you wouldn't even believe it. Kind of a horror story that's funny. So,
you've got a great sense of humor, girl.
It's people to laugh at it, you know.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, and if you can do that, you're way ahead of the game. If you can look at it and say, hey, you know, look at this fine mess I've got myself in now. Only I could have got myself in this mess, and only
and
I can get myself out.
Know. You wouldn't believe, but it's so good I'm out. And I noticed you had been at Joshua Tree for a conference, a gathering?
I had not, no.
Oh,
you know, Regina, maybe you were looking at somebody else's bio.
I must.
That's okay, because you've raised some very interesting points, and I thank you for that, because, you know, there are so many things to explore. And when you get somebody like David on the show, who is very illuminated from my standpoint, any question is absolutely wonderful and delicious.
Okay. Well, I was just, you know, very interested in what he's presenting and your program, which is always illuminating. And so I'm glad you let me come on. And
always, my dear, always. You always add to the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling
okay.
in.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, thanks.
Have a good evening now. I'll keep
God
listening.
Bless.
God bless.
Okay,
bye
wonderful.
Bye.
We're going to move on to caller 239 in just a moment. Regina, I'm not going to disconnect you. I'm having there you go. Okay, you can still hear. Okay, caller 239, you're on the air with David Clark and David Gagan. What's your name, please?
Hi, this is Diana. I'm in
Hi,
South
Diana.
Port.
How are you?
I'm
Hi,
fine.
Diana.
Hi, David and David. You are a pretty good group. You're going to do well on that show with your pro and con believer. But let me say another view that someone raised a question to me, besides it being karma. Can you be put into a situation where it's someone else's karma, but you need it to be pulled into it because you're kind of like a light worker? Sometimes you're pulled to a dark situation in order for the light to happen. Well, some people asked me to babysit for a dog, and I was like, well, you're really just going to have to chain it up. That dog's big. I'm not – just chain it in my backyard. I'll throw out some food. You're only going to be gone. No. You got to go for a walk with us. You know, they're Spanish. So, okay. Reluctantly, against what I wanted to do, and I knew better, I went over there. She opened the gate, and the dog attacked me. So I got a lot of multiple dog bites. So someone told me, let me finish, and then I'm going to get both of you. Someone told me this could have been their karma because by that dog mauling me, it wasn't going to get to maul anyone else because what eventually happened is they had to get rid of the dog. But the people have not helped pay for the emergency room bill or anything. So, you know, then I don't know how much of that's my karma, how much of it was that I was used to get rid of a dog that probably could have killed the children. There were three children that play out here in the road. So, you know, I don't know. So I'm going to leave it up to you all.
Well, maybe you were a hero, and maybe you were a hero and saved children. Did you ever consider that?
A martyr, maybe.
Oh, I don't know about that, my dear. You're only a martyr if you allow yourself to be one, and you don't sound like a martyr to me.
Well, if I knew I was going to get mauled, I wouldn't have gone. But I
no, I hear
I
you.
Want to. I knew I didn't want to. It went anyway. So.
I'll tell you my view on it. It's your karma. People can't drag you into their karma. You can make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. You know, you know, if you want to know what you're supposed to do in life, do what you don't want to do but you know is right. And that's an easy way to help you as a guideline of what you should and should not do. But other people can't drag you into the karma. It was your karma and that you were dealing with there. And if, you know, and if that's the way it turned out, then that's the way it turned out. But I don't see anybody else dragging you into the karma. I think it was your karma.
Okay. Well, that was a psychic that told me that. That what it is that light workers do get pulled to dark situations because
mm-hmm.
we diffuse and make it light by contrast and by what we do.
Well,
so,
that doesn't. But it's still your karma. It might be the case, but it's still your karma.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
That's my view, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Anna,
for
calling in. Do you have any other questions or comments?
No, that's all, because I like listening to the show. So I'll sit back and listen
to you. How long have you been listening? Have you heard other shows that I've done?
Yes, I like it.
Wonderful. I believe I've talked to you before, haven't I?
Yes, you have.
Okay, well, I recognized your name, and your voice sounded very familiar. Just to let people know, because I don't have my schedule posted for August, I'd like to let you know about a few. They're all interesting people, But for whatever reason, people seem to be interested in spiritually gifted people. That's not to say, let's say people that have realized their spiritual gifts, because we all have that potential. For whatever reason, some of us do not become illuminated. Some of us do not realize our psychic abilities, and that's okay. But psychics, healers, seers, past life regressionists, those are the shows people tune into. So pardon me for presenting a bias, but you can look at my schedule, which I will post for August soon. I'm booking for October, November, and December, and I always welcome interesting guests, including callers. If you have an interesting story to tell, an interesting a thirst for spiritual knowledge, I will be interested in hearing from you, and you can contact me again at my email address of dcowder, C-O-W-D-E-R, at twcny.rr.com. Now, on August 7th, my shows are Thursday and Friday night, with the exception of some special edition shows. I have Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre, a psychologist who had an epiphany over 30 years ago when Angel started talking to her, and she immediately became adept at reading the Akashic Record. She's on my show every couple of months. She will return August 7th. And we have coming up on August 21st another return guest, a visionary mystic by the name of Athena Starr. August 27th, I have Chris Alexandria, who is an angel chatter. It's her first time on the program. Dr. Bernie Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, best-selling author who maintains that we are the ones who heal ourselves, and folks, we do that at every level, heart, mind, body, and soul. Dr. Siegel will be on the air on 9/11. We will commemorate that seeming tragedy that obviously involved a lot of karma for a lot of people, including globally. So he'll be on the air that night. I have a very offbeat guest on 9/18. That is Dave Pounder, who happens to be a porn star and porn producer who has a master's degree in psychology, who has written books on human behavior, and I'm going to pound the pavement with him to see what he has to say about the spirituality of porn. I have a pet psychic on 9/25 and also on 9/17, an angel reader by the name of Vera Farkas. So those are a few of the upcoming guests. Please feel free to tune in. And, of course, as I've mentioned to David, and he's honored my request, he will be back on the show two more times, probably before the end of the year, if that works out. So let's move on. We're going to go a little past the hour mark, folks, because I want to get to all the callers. Bear with me just a moment. I have kind of left the studio, if you will. And Diana, thanks again for calling in, my dear.
Thank you.
Okay, God bless.
Bless you.
Okay, we're moving on to another area code, 951. You are on the air with David Clark and David Gagan. Can you hear me? The studio is slow. Hang in there, 951. I know you can hear me. I'm going to mute you for a moment and try to come back to you. David, what can you say about mysticism?
I certainly believe in it. I think
I do too. Do you consider yourself a mystic?
No, I'm not a mystic, and I there certainly have been famous mystics, and you know, everybody has probably a slightly different view of what a mystic is. I guess somebody that understands the mysteries of life and gets it very often through the spiritual realm is probably what most people consider a mystic. But I look at it broader. I look at it as there has been information passed down through the generations through the many, many generations, which is the mysteries, if you will, the mysteries of life. And I think that's part of the mysticism. But I think it's very real. But I've never had any ability to be a mystic.
Not yet, but
not yet.
That's not to say it can't happen.
I would never doubt that.
Well, my issue in the last year has been one of discernment. I have was very gullible in my younger years, and it haunted me, or I allowed it to haunt me into my later years. I'm 60 now, and I don't look it, but that's neither here nor there. I've lived on this planet for a while. I've seen a lot. I've experienced a lot, and I am a mystic. But discernment has been elusive for me, and to me, that is a necessary component of wisdom. And I don't know why I'm digressing, because I have caller 951 live on the air. What is your name, please?
Hi, it's Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Say hello to David Gagan.
Hi, Nathaniel.
How are you doing? Hi.
What would you like to talk about, Nathaniel? Or what would you like David to talk about? Or what would you like me to talk about?
You know, I'm kind of calling in no really questions or no statements. I'm just listening, I guess.
I see.
I don't know, you know.
Well, I have a question for you. Have you been listening to the whole show?
You know, I didn't listen to the whole show. I've been listening to the last 10 minutes or so.
Oh, okay, so you missed the discussion on karma then.
Okay, yeah.
Were you present when we talked about taking responsibility for our lives?
I think so.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot. If you don't want to answer, that's perfectly okay, because perhaps you didn't press 1, perhaps you didn't expect to be called on, but for whatever reason, sometimes people come into the call-in queue when they haven't pressed 1, and I haven't figured out what that is, but I've come to see that everything happens for a reason. Life is full of mysteries, and so you're meant to be here tonight. What do you think is the importance of taking personal responsibility at all levels, and particularly at a spiritual level, for creating the reality that you desire?
Well, for one, no one else will, and that's, you know, everyone's individual responsibility to do that.
Right. Right. Anything else, Nathaniel?
Everybody's just responsible for their own weight, so it's just a universal law, I suppose.
Well, unfortunately, it seems that a lot of people don't take responsibility. What do you think that's about?
Oh, yeah, you know, that's true. It's, if you don't make a decision, you still have made a choice, I suppose.
There you go. Right. Life is full of choices, yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we always have the right to change our mind and change our...
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where does your spiritual interest lie? And what, if any, spiritual experiences have you had that you feel comfortable sharing?
Well, I have many spiritual experiences. Of course, we all should draw back to our dreams because, we're all trying to get, spiritual experiences by our dreams. And then, we get, all kinds of deja vus and, can you take a hint, when things happen, So they're all working with us too, So every day of our lives is another lesson on the Earth School or, whatever you have to say, because they have our studies all lined up for each day.
Well, you've got a lot of wisdom, Nathaniel, and if you caught my email address, and if you didn't, go back to the archives. I'd like you to be a guest on my show sometime. What do you think about that?
Hey, well, thanks a lot. I've been at my own show and I guess on many shows.
We have some things to talk about. I like to pick people's brains, and I'm glad I picked yours, because everybody has something to add, but you seem to be rather spiritually advanced, and I would love to have the opportunity to dialogue with you. Perhaps you'd like to, what is your interest in mysticism or UFOs?
Oh, yeah, there's been UFOs going on probably since before people even been here.
All right, I'm going to make this proposition to you then. I'm going to have David Gagin back on to discuss those topics. I would like to have you on that show. Would you be open to that?
Yeah, sure.
Great. How do you feel about that, David?
It's fine with me.
Beautiful. Okay, Nathaniel, do you have any other comments or questions before I let you go?
Oh, no, thanks. Not today. Just have a good day. Yeah, thanks for coming on the show and discussing what matters most in, I guess, life,
Would you like me to give you my email address so you can write it down?
No, that's all right. You can probably just give me your phone number. I'll give you a call, or you can call me.
Fine, I'm glad to do that. Again, self-promoting, I do spirit life coaching, and I do past life regressions at a very reasonable fee. So I'm glad to put my number out there, and if you're a crank caller, guess what? I'll hang up on you. Okay, my phone number is area code 315-478-1086. You got it?
Go ahead again. 1086. What was the first part?
315-478.
All right.
Yeah. Best time to reach me, Nathaniel, are weekdays at 2.
All right.
Okay, I'll look forward to hearing from you, and we'll coordinate with David according to his schedule. I trust you're a pretty busy man, David.
I am.
Yeah. Okay, Nathaniel, thank you, and good night.
Thank you. Good night, Al. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, God bless. Well, David, we have passed the hour mark. Is there anything else you would like to talk about tonight, or shall we save it for the next time?
Well, we probably ought to save it for the next time. I'm happy to do that, because anything we get into will probably go on for a bit. But
right.
I do enjoy the discussion. I appreciate you having me on. And
it's
an interesting
pleasure.
World we're in.
It is, and it's growing more interesting every day. I have people who seem to be in the know, an ascended master out in California, who tells me the level of vibration is at an all-time high, and that we are have been coming into a period of great transition. Now, I was asked by a minister at a church some time ago if I believed there was going to be world peace in our lifetime. I said, there will be world peace, but in our lifetime? She looked at me and said, really? Guess what? I've changed my mind about that. I have a guest by the name of Carlo Ami who has a training program. It's not spiritually based, but he's very spiritual. It's based on spiritual law, however, and it also is somewhat scientific in that there is some permutation or something like that based on 7,000 illuminated souls, that when 7,000 illuminated souls occur, that there will be world peace. And he talked about how, as an example, a large number of people in an area meditated for a period of time, not long, and crime went down in that city. So, you know, we do send out those vibrations. We do affect others at all levels. And so let's take personal responsibility to lead upright lives, live in the truth, whatever is our truth. Everybody has a right to their own beliefs and opinions. Let's not argue. Let's see where we can find common ground. let there be peace, and let it begin with each of us. And remember that we are connected at a core level. We're all unique expressions of our higher power. So, David, thank you, and I'll be calling you in just a few moments.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if you let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.